Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, September 6th. Today we are reading from the Big Book, the fourth edition. We are on page 152, the second full paragraph. Today's readers are Joanne L., Cindy H., Annie L. C., Shelley E., and Kara L. The reference numbers for yesterday, September 5th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 20,600. That's 20600. And for Wednesday, September 6th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 20,606, 20606. The following is the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Jody E., thank you so very much for your service this week and also for the month of September. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island and recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. In 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I thank you so much for service. Let's have a good meeting. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Joanne L. from Rhode Island. And I will now ask Cindy H. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, this is Cindy H. from Michigan, recovered compulsive eater, but not cured. Our common welfare, these are the 12 traditions, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. And six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and God bless everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Cindy H. from Michigan. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the 4th edition of the Big Book, on page 152, paragraph 2, the second full paragraph, beginning with, yes, there is a substitute. I will ask Penny L.C. to begin the reading. Thank you, Penny.
Yes, thank you, Jody. Thank you for your service. Good morning. And good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Yes, there is a substitute, and it is vastly more than that. It is a fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. There you will find release from care, boredom, and worry. Your imagination will be fired. Life will mean something at last. The most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. Thus, we find the fellowship, and so will you. And in this paragraph, as I reflect on it, ask myself, a substitute for what? And it's for, you know, simply for the depression, the pain, and the misery that I was living in my disease. You know, and it's a release from the remorse, the shame, and the guilt I felt by stuffing my face with food that I knew was not healthy for me, and yet I kept chasing that sense of escape. And if there's a substitute for that, well, you've got my attention. So what is this substitute? It's a new way of living, you know, from so many aspects of my life. It's a connection to a supportive fellowship that's there with the reaching hand out to me to help me along the way. It's a set of instructions on how to do life. I love that we get to have an owner's manual for life. And it's a connection to a higher power of my own understanding, which has been such a freedom to be able to really consider what I needed in a higher power to be sure that I had full sense of that for myself. And so from there, my mind simply needed to be open to the possibilities instead of locked in my old ways of thinking and behaving. And my spirit just needed to be willing to surrender my will and to take direction. There's a promise then given in the paragraph. Life will mean something. Well, what is that? That I will have a clear awareness and understanding of my purpose. The purpose of being of service, which turns out to be, you know, as it says here, very satisfactory, and I find very fulfilling. So I'm so grateful that all of this is available to me if I'm simply willing to take a few directions. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC, for getting us started. Okay, I'll now take a few names of those who would like to share on this paragraph. We're on page 152, paragraph 2. Who would like to share?
Kara L.
Bonnie B. from Minnesota.
Wendy B.
I got Kara. Who from Minnesota?
Bonnie
from Minnesota.
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Elaine B.
Elaine B. Anyone else?
Robbie.
Kara L. Rodney. Okay, let's go with those. I have Kara L., who I believe is from Colorado, Bonnie from Minnesota, Wendy B., Elaine B., and I heard Rodney P., but I might be wrong about that. Go ahead, Kara, please.
Thank you, Jody. This is Kara L. from Long Beach, California. And, you know, yesterday we studied, like, well, if I'm not eating and I'm not doing the things as I do it, I'm going to be, you know, then life is going to be, you know, what did we say? Shall I be stupid, boring, and glum? You know? What's the substitute? Like, have you sufficient substitute? And today we read, like, yeah, there's a substitute, and it's vastly more than that. You know, the substitute for the life that I think I needed, the life that I thought had to go a certain way, right? And, you know, once the food is down, I start to figure out more and more about how standards of I think they need to be, and I think it needs to be this way. And the more I work these steps, I realize that my higher power's plan for me is, you know, beyond anything I could ever imagine, right? You know, I get this beautiful thing. So today, yeah, is it satisfactory? You know, this, you know, am I boring and glum? No, because today I find myself more and more saying, how can I serve in this moment? You know, God, please give me an intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. And that my heart has truly had this growth, and I just want to be of service. And that's not me. You know, that was not me when I was in the food and when I was manipulating and controlling to try to get what I thought I needed to be okay. And once I was able to let go of what I thought I needed to be okay, and I said, okay, there's a power greater than me. I'm going to have to trust that. And these steps, working these steps, gets me closer and closer to that power. And the life is so much better. It's night and day. And I don't know. I don't know why I didn't know that all those years I spent trying to shape life to fit my needs. You know, and I'm so grateful today that I can call up anybody on this line and say, right, this is amazing. And they get it. You know, I have this fellowship now all around me. I'm never alone anywhere in this world because there's always somebody in the fellowship with just in a phone call away. I'm really excited to hear what everybody else says. Thank you, and I will pass.
Thank you, Kara L. from California. Bonnie from Minnesota, what is the initial of your last name?
Bonnie B., and thank you, Jody.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Thanks so much, Jody, and thanks, Penny, for the opening. Sure, it was beautiful. Oh, my goodness. I missed so many, like, paragraphs. I just am overwhelmed with the times. I'm so grateful to God. This is one of them. Yes, there's a substitute. And just, you know, Bonnie B. from Minnesota, gratefully recovered by the grace of God today. This is a shout-out to anyone who has not crossed over yet, right? I mean, I can remember coming in and thinking, there's just no way. There's no way that everything they're saying is what it is, and yet it is. And you can't experience it until you experience it. And so what is that substitute? For me, it was a complete transformation of the inside, total change on the inside. He took this, you know, my higher power, my God, took from me that selfish list of, I got to get mine, and this is how I get it, because I think that's what's going to make me feel good, to it's yours, and how can I be of service to other people? And all the other things are add-ons. I came in thinking it was about getting to a certain body weight and then, you know, getting the monkeys out of my head. That's been there for 3.5 years. This is the deal. It's the other stuff. Life takes on a whole new meaning. As the previous fellow shared, I wake up and I think, what can I do today, God, to bless someone else? Please show me how I can be of service to other people today. Boring about my life. I have a lot of free time that I used to use first doing food, and then I substituted Hallmark movies before it actually was completely free. And I get to put that into, like, service. And, yes, within this program, but also service people around me because I'm not in the food. Life at last means something. That sentence that says life will mean something, I underline at last. I always wanted my life to mean something, but it finally means something at last. And what does that look like for me? Die to yourself. Trust God for all the rest and watch what he does. Life takes on a whole new meaning. For the first time, there's actually a peace on the inside. And how do we get it? By connecting with God and then asking him to see what we can do to be of service to others who are still suffering in this disease. I have a mission. The big book talks about it two different places. What's the purpose? What's the goal? To fit myself to be of maximum service to God and other people. This is the greatest place I could ever imagine living. And with that, I will pass. And thanks again, everyone.
Thank you, Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Wendy B., please tell us where you're from. Wendy
B. Good morning. Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, I was playing with the mute button. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, that same line, life will mean something at last. The most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. And I just love that he used the term satisfactory. He didn't use, you know, euphoric, you know, or some extreme word. You know, satisfactory to me implies the feeling of satisfaction you get after a job well done. And, you know, the long version of the Serenity Prayer says, we will be reasonably happy in this life. You know, and as an addict, I was used to living in the extremes. You know, so now I'm getting used to living in moderation. You know, words like satisfactory and balanced and reasonable apply to my life today, and it's a miracle. And, you know, at the end of each day, you know, as I do my nightly review, I do have a sense of accomplishment, you know, as I look back at what I learned, you know, at the new awarenesses I had, the growth that I noticed, you know, the peaceful interactions I had with others. I have a feeling of a day well lived, you know, doing esteemable things. And, you know, my life has meaning, you know, as I sacrifice my selfishness and serve others, you know, as I've aligned myself with God's purposes for my life, you know, as I endeavor to live as his agent, you know, serving his interests, not mine, and, you know, and relying on his power and strength and not my, you know, self-sufficiency. And I just am truly grateful for this new way of life. It's beautiful. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona, for sharing. And Elaine B., please go ahead.
Thank you so much for your service, Jody. Appreciate it. And great shares. And I love this paragraph. I love promises. And there's so many promises throughout this book. And it's such an encouragement, especially for newcomers that, you know, have tried many things and it hasn't worked, or people who have, you know, are coming back and they have tried many things and they found, well, oh, I need more. And so this paragraph is full of promises. It says there's a substitute, and it's vastly more than that. And it is. It's a design for living that really works. It really works. The food didn't work, you know. It's a fellowship in Overeaters Anonymous, you know, to be able to find fellows 24/7 all over the planet that are accessible through a vision for you. You can always go, you can always listen to a meeting through the online, but you can also connect with others. And it's such an incredible thing to be able to have people you can reach out to. There we'll find release from care. How do we do that? We do our 10 steps with our fellows. We do 11 steps. We connect with each other. We share. And there's very rarely that I don't do a 10 step that people can't relate, that people don't have experience, strength, and hope that they can share with me. And it helps so much when people identify in. I am not terminally unique. My problems are not, you know, they may be of my own making, because I'm trying to figure it out all by myself. So then I have a new higher power that I can build relationship with. And knowing that I'm not alone in it, I can release the care of, if it's to be, it's up to me. I get to do this with a loving higher power that knows everything about everybody, past, present, and future, and knows what I need to do in this situation today, but also others that can share. Boredom and worry. You know, oh, I'm going to sit there with nothing to do. So what can I do? I can get on a meeting. I can call a newcomer. I can think of something better than going to the refrigerator or going to the store for more. Worry, that's the big thing. You know, is my head in the future? Is my head in the past? Am I looking forward with dread? Am I looking at the past with regret? Am I worrying about how am I going to make it through this or that or the other thing? You know, again, we have a fellowship where we can bring these to. Worry often for me is an identification that there's a fear. And so that means there's a fear inventory that I can take, and then I can find out what my new loving higher power, my relationship with him, what God would have me be. my imagination will be fired. Well, you know, there's groups beyond this, and there's other things that have happened in my life that make life take on new meaning. And incredible fellowship that is life-changing. And if we have all found this, if they put this in the book and they never changed it, it can all happen for you. So keep coming. I pass.
Elaine, where are you from, Elaine?
I'm from Massachusetts. Thanks, Jody.
Thank you. Thank you, Elaine. That's Elaine B. from Massachusetts. Now, is it Rodney P. or what was your name? I'm sorry, I think I got it wrong.
Hi, it's Robin P. And I'm
Robin.
Robin P.
Go ahead, Robin.
Thank you. It's Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm currently in St. Augustine, Florida, and very grateful to be recovered today. You know, I was thinking about how lonely I was, how profoundly lonely I was, and the food never filled that God hole ever, and because it's not supposed to. And if it was going to fill that God hole, it would have done it with me because I tried incessantly for decades. So grateful that this is, there's so many solutions here. And living in 10, 11, and 12, as we mentioned, when I'm feeling afraid or resentful, I used that mental obsession, oh my gosh, that just used to drive me. And I feel like I just to keep surrendering it and then asking God and getting help from my folks. Next right action, next right action. We're looking for a home in the U.S. for at least part of the year, and we've been traveling around a different city every week for 3 months with two newly retired gentlemen who are doing great. And, it's living in hotel rooms and the van and, you know, God just keeps carrying us, and the program keeps carrying us. And my sponsor and my fellows, my God squad, and it's so different from doing it alone. And, oh, my gosh, I could never do this alone. My brain would have sabotaged me. I would have sat in the food. I wouldn't have done this. And so many things that I believe God wants me to do, I'm enabled through the grace of the program. And I'm about to go to a conference that I really want to go to in a couple of months. That'll be in Savannah. And God graced me with being able to go to that. And all of that is recovery in action. And I believe that it is about recovery in action. You know, faith without works is dead. And work without faith doesn't work out either. So I'm just so eternally grateful that I have a solution today. And you know, when somebody contacted me again today and she's like, she's in the food, and I just always say, just pray to hit bottom and pray to do for the willingness to the one thing that you're resistant to do, whatever you're resistant to doing, it's just pray to be willing to go to anything, and it works. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day. Thanks so much, Pat.
Thank you so much, Robin P., currently in Florida. Okay, it's time for another lineup. We are on page 152, the second full paragraph, which begins, yes, there is a substitute. Who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Larry G., California.
Larry G. from California. Who else?
Vicki P. from Florida.
Vicki P. from Florida. Great. Anyone else? Don't be shy. The water is warm.
Donna D. from
Michigan. Donna.
Elizabeth A. Michigan.
Elizabeth A. from Michigan. Okay. All right, let's go with those four. I have Larry G. from California, Vicki P. from Florida, Donna from Colorado, I believe, and Elizabeth A. from Michigan. So Go ahead, Larry.
Good morning, Larry G from California. Bill is a smart dude. I love the word he placed a vision for you. He didn't put it in the beginning of the book. He put it at the end. Unlike self-help books, you know, where you could remove the word self-help out of self-help, they always put the vision in the front. Bill puts in the back, and so wisely, right? Because none of this is ever going to happen unless I surrender. And I have to practice that beautiful prayer on page 62, the third set prayer. I have to practice that multiple times throughout the day. You know, if you were to put this in the beginning of the book when I came into a vision for you, I would say, yeah, sucker, it might work for you, but, you know, it's going to work for me. Because if I could just get through the next 15 minutes, right, and that's the way it worked for me, the next 15 minutes without picking up the food, that was a good day for me. But today, what's my day like today? Well, you know, the vision for you is, to me, my favorite chapter because it tells me that you can dream big and live large without food, without booze, without any crutch. There's going to be days, right? We all are going to suffer. We all have trials and tribulations. We don't get out of this world alive without suffering. Some of us lose family members, our health, finances, children. But we can get through that without the food. My worst day eating, or today, my worst day today is better than my best day eating, without a doubt. And I've got some, I have some goals in my life. I've got some things I want to accomplish. My wife and I are going to visit every national park. We've already knocked out about 10. When I get my knee replacement, I'm going to get really in great physical shape, which I'm in great physical shape now, but I'm talking about, you know, being able to hike again. We wanted to hike some of the ancient great, you know, holy pilgrimages in this world. My wife and I, we go to a conference once a year. We can't wait. It's one of the most beautiful places in the world, and we run into people we've known for years there and new people. And we laugh, and we listen to Joel and Charlie on the way there and way back. I mean, life is just amazing today. Not without its ups and downs, but I have a design for living. I have a design for living today that is so much better than anything I could have ever come up with. And it means that I have to surrender, though, because without surrender, nothing happens. So if you're new out there and you're hearing this, and you're wondering how this is ever going to happen to you, it's not going to happen to you. It wouldn't happen for any of us unless we surrendered. We have to give up the food. We have to find a power greater than ourselves. And we have to find a program, whether it's OA, whether it's therapy, whether it's a faith-based program.
Gentle
reminder. We have
reminder.
To find something bigger than us and dedicate ourselves and find a design for living. And with that, I'm out.
Thank you so much. Larry G. from California. Vicky P. from Florida. Please go ahead.
Hi, Jody. Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. Good morning. This is Vicky P., and I am gratefully recovered in Florida. And, you know, yesterday I was listening to the meeting, and somebody was talking about how speaks for me that, you know, my emotions are not removed. You know, God does not remove my human emotions of feeling sadness or grief or excitement. You know, sometimes I have more trouble with the excitement, you know, those highs and lows that are difficult to handle. And in step 11, it talks about not exhausting myself with my self-will and my control. And, you know, when the beginning of the of this meeting, somebody talked about having an instruction manual for life. And I was like, oh my God, that really is true. Like, you know, I'm not a parent, but like, I know new parents say, well, what am I supposed to do? I don't know how to, like, nobody, there's no book, there's no course. I mean, maybe there are now, but you know what I'm saying. And really, I thought to myself, it's true. Like, can you imagine if the entire world, like government and everybody, worked a 12-step program? We would have such a beautiful world. Everybody would be so nice to each other. Oh my goodness. But you know, I used to feel that I had to be in control of everything in order to be okay and safe. My biggest thing is feeling safe. I never felt safe in anything. And so controlling myself, controlling my food, my whole life until pretty much recent, and I'm 57, has been eating food, not eating food, thinking about eating food, not thinking about eating food, doing this, you know, my body this way, my body that way, all obsessed about that. And, you know, when I'm in the food, when I was in the food, I'm exhausted. I would sleep till 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday, get up and eat, go back to sleep, get up and eat, go back to sleep. I get up, I pop up, I can't wait to get on my morning meetings and the, on the weekends. And the fellowship is like, I have so many friends everywhere. Even I have friends that I don't even know, because we speak that language of the heart. And life is meaningful. You know, I am not born with, oh, what? How can I serve somebody? It's not my selfishness doesn't allow that. And so sometimes I forget, and then I'll remember, and I'll be like, that happened at work the other day. I really wasn't helpful with somebody on the phone. I called them right back. I said, oh, wait. Let me walk you through this. And the person felt great, but I felt even better. I'm like, this is what I'm supposed to, it's like practicing riding the bike. Thank you, Jody. It's like practicing riding the bike, and then eventually, I'll just completely learn and do it all the time. So anyway, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing, Vicki P. from Florida. And Donna, what is the initial of your last name, Donna?
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge purge bulimic, and exercise bulimic. And this sentence, your imagination will be fired. Oh, I would love for my imagination to be fired, because my imagination is very good at spinning out into webs of catastrophic thinking and worst case scenarios. And way out into the infinite future where things are going to be horrible and terrible. In March, I had pretty major surgery to remove a bone spur from my toe, which was causing pain when I walked. And the recovery process has not been what I expected. And yesterday, it turns out there's arthritis in the joints, despite the spur being removed. And there is a possibility that there is another surgery in my future. And I have been feeling really sorry for myself since yesterday, you know, imagining a life where I'm crippled, where I can't walk with my girlfriends, where I can't walk on the beach, where I, you know, on and on and on and on, all the places my imagination takes me. And of course, in that imagination, I'm entirely by myself. I had to laugh when Larry shared that he's pending a knee replacement, because there you go. I'm not alone. I mean, I literally was like sort of sulking in my aloneness of life and was reminded and just brought back right to the moment where in these rooms, nobody has not experience something I will eventually experience, and I'm never alone in anything I'm going through in life. And the idea that my most satisfactory years lie ahead of me is so important for the quality of my life in this moment, to know that there is hope, to know that there's more, to know that with the guidance of a higher power, in letting go of my self-propulsion, in surrendering to whatever means my higher power chooses to bless me with, I can do something. I can do stuff. I can still be satisfied. I can still be a part of. I can still be connected. And with that, my right big toe and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Donna B. from Colorado, and she spells her name D-A-N-A. Elizabeth A. from Michigan, it's your turn.
Hi, good morning. This is Elizabeth A. from Michigan. Somebody said on the line today, doing the thing we don't want to do. And so I was like, yes, press star one. I am not sure why I am reticent to share. I've been in OA since 1986. God has been so gracious. I came to program after having a pretty dramatic spiritual awakening, and I didn't want anybody else to know how sick I was. God and I were cool, like, yeah, we know. And this bulimia thing, this binge purge thing, this binge cocaine thing, starve thing, all God knew all that, and I didn't want other people to know. And that's what broke me, was not having fellowship. And I would be lying if I told you that that is easy. It is still not easy for me. And I've been listening this week and just really resonating with some of the things. I came from a pretty abusive family. And so I'm learning to negotiate relationships at 64 years old and just feeling my feelings. And I'm profoundly grateful. And the thing that pops out to me is two things: beauty for masses, that God can use my complete brokenness and mess to bring glory to himself. And the other one is, to whom much is given, much is required. Because, you know, when I went through the abuse with my father dying and my family and all that, I didn't eat through it, which is nothing short of a miraculous thing. But it left me disillusioned and bitter. And so I've had to keep rowing my boat. And I don't have the answers, but I know that God uses all things. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth A. from Michigan. Okay, we have time for a couple of more shares. Who else would like to share? Press star one to unmute. I know there's a lot of people out there.
Hi,
Janice
P. from New York.
Who is that from New York?
Candy P.
Candy P. from New York. And there was someone else.
Dina A. from New Jersey.
Okay, I heard someone from New Jersey. Go ahead again, your name.
Dina A.
Dina A. Okay. We'll just stop there and see how our time is. Candy P. from New York, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much to everyone who makes the meeting possible. And as you can hear, I do have a vocal disorder, so I don't often share. But I had to share this morning because I heard so many things I related to. Yesterday, I was at my knee orthopedist, and he was telling me that there's no operation that's going to take away my maladies. And I used to dance, and I used to sing, and I used to perform in community theater. And I can't do any of those things anymore. Well, I could, but I can't really. At any rate, I did make lemonade from lemons and started my own little troupe. But hearing someone talk about a knee replacement and someone else talk about her toe, and I could relate so strongly. And I'm afraid I don't use what I hear in this meeting often enough. And I do get up every morning and listen to the vision meeting. And sometimes I play the recording of the 7 a.m. meeting. But I'm still not finding the fellowship I crave. And I realize that's my own fault. I need a 10-step partner, and I need a 10-step train, and yet I'm not being aggressive enough to find it, but this meeting gives me comfort. I always hear something I need to hear, and I'm very grateful to all of you for your openness and honesty. And the recovery I have is due to the fellowship that is here and to my sponsor and most of all to the steps. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Candy P. from New York. Dina A. from New Jersey, go ahead.
Hi, Dina A. from New Jersey. Thank you all for this meeting and for making it happen. I'm fairly new to Vision, so this paragraph was very powerful to me because although I've been abstinent and figured out all my abstinent behaviors along with my food and working the steps slowly, what I've been less willing to do is make those phone calls every day to recovered fellows and visionaries, and I've been keeping my same OA fellowship that I've had for 12 years, which is not the recovery that I really want. It's the friends that won't call me out on anything, but will just say I'm doing amazing, and it doesn't have that feedback that real recovered people have that I'm really looking for, and that's why I pressed *1 to say I really want to change. I really want to join this fellowship and not stay alone in what I'm doing or trying to do it myself. So thank you again. I'm going to pass.
Thank you very much, Dina A. from New Jersey. We have time for a 2-minute share or a little less than 2 minutes. Who would like to take that?
Janice K.
Janice K., please go ahead. About a minute, Janice.
Okay. It just keeps getting better. As long as I keep doing the work, it keeps getting better. So I do the work, and I live in gratitude, and life gets better. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Janice. Okay, well, we have less than a minute left, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to our newcomer greeter, who is Loretta M. Take it away, Loretta.
All right. Good morning.
Oh, I'm sorry, Loretta.
Wait a minute.
Something.
I'm sorry.
I missed the closing.
We
will
now
close. Yeah, I forgot. This is my first time. Thanks, everyone, for your patience.
Well, you're doing a good job.
We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
You bet. Thanks so much. Wonderful job. Good morning. Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Petoskey, Michigan, presently. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.